hate that I went back, you know, that it was my choice. Yeah. I did it. And I hated it. But God gave me a different lens to see through it. So that when I look in the mirror, I don't see hate. Right. I'm not looking with hate. That's right. Better. I'm not looking at myself with hate.
Yeah.
You dirty, nasty thing. Look what you did back then. You did all that.
You go and tell God about something. You've asked God to forgive you. You've confessed it and owned up to it. And it's in your past. And you go try to talk to God about it again. You know this. Yeah. You know where I'm fit to head.
Yeah.
You're insulting the character and the nature of God by bringing up something that he said in his word. When you confessed it, he forgave you and he cleansed you of it. And then the psalmist had a great revelation. He said, God doesn't treat us like our sin deserves, but he literally forgets our sin. He removes it as far from us as east is from the west. Psalms 103 talks about that. So when we keep coming before God with this sense of guilt, it's actually that we're not releasing and standing in faith about God's forgiveness. God doesn't want us to condemn ourselves or to hate ourselves. Hate sin, yes, yours, mine, and everybody's. But realize that I am not my actions of the past. I am the redeemed child of God that he loves so much that he redeemed me in spite of myself. And because of that, I have great value to him, and I ought to treat myself in such that way. It's a different perspective.
Yeah. And during that walk with Kaylin, you've been a part of that walk.
Yeah.
I got to admit, there were some times when she called. I mean, we're talking a couple detox, a couple rehabs. There was times that I fell in, that I began to have unbelief.
Yeah.
And then, but when I caught myself looking that way, I was like, I had to stop and pray and ask God.
If everything that we desire God to do took place immediately, bada bing, bada boom, we wouldn't hardly have to have faith. I mean, we'd have to have it, but we don't have to have it for a little teeny little tiny bit of time. You remember when Peter walked on the water?
Oh, yeah.
And then he began to sink. And when he got back in the boat, our Bible says that Jesus confronted him and said, "O ye of little faith." The word little there is not talking about the size of his faith or the quantity of his faith. It's talking about the length of his faith. That Greek word that's actually there is not a word about quantity. It's a word about time. And what Jesus was literally saying to Peter goes, "O you of short bursts of faith." You had a burst of faith that enabled you to walk on water, but you didn't stay in faith, keeping your eyes on me, so you began to sink. It's easy to have faith for a minute. It's not easy to have faith for a month or a year or 10 years or 25 years. Abraham, the father of faith, had faith for 25 years because he considered him faithful who promised more than the deadness of his own body. So that's how you do it. That's how you do it. And we're going to release our faith. You got a prayer request you want prayed over. We're going to release our faith in those for you. I've got one or two myself, but we'll get to that.
The only one I have is for, I have two, for a couple of new believers. Like, they're probably maybe pushing 30 hours. They're 30 hours old.
Mm-hmm. They're excited then.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then pray for Angel, Kaylin, and Raul.
Chad Hensley asked us to pray for his son, Caden, who's scheduled for a surgery at 10 this morning to remove a benign tumor from his neck. He asked us to pray for a successful and easy surgery, that they will not need to cut his jaw to get it out, and for a speedy recovery with no recurrence. And then I'm asking for prayers for a friend for favor in the courtroom for a custody dispute today.
All right. Praise the Lord. So So, Father, as we come before you, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that paved the way and makes the way to the throne room of grace, where you said in your word, Father, we could enter and find grace to help in our time of need. Father, Chad has asked us, Lord God, to pray for his son, Caden. And, Father, you know this time of need in his life. Here in just literally a few minutes, Lord God, they are going to do a procedure. And Chad's been very specific about what he is asking and believing for successful and easy surgery, that they'll not need to cut his jaw, for a speedy recovery, no recurrence. Father, we set ourselves in agreement with those things, Father. We agree together for Caden's health to be completely restored and done in such a way that you receive praise and honor and glory. We pray, Lord, also for favor, Lord God, in the courtroom for a friend. Lord God, we ask that your will be done. You are the God of justice, and you are the God of truth, and you are the God of mercy and compassion. And we appeal to your compassion and your mercy and ask you for this favor. We thank you, Father, for favor being received and your will being done in the courtroom. And, Lord, for Angel being able to go with his mom. Lord God, with his stepdad, we pray for this family. Father, we pray that their hearts be so inclined and drawn to you that it create an atmosphere in their home, Lord God, that you desire each person to live in. That Angel, Lord God, you desire him to know stability and peace and love and grace. And I pray, Lord, that these lives continue to be transformed before our very eyes. And we give you thanks for it, Lord, for all that you've done already. All that you've done and all that you're doing. Father, I pray for Charlene Rhode, Lord God, and I thank you, Father, that you are her healer. You are the strength of her life. You are her Savior, Father. I speak peace and grace over her, over every member of her family, Father God. We give you praise. We give you thanks. I pray for my dear friend Neva and for Joe. Father, you know that this weekend, Lord God, is this week is a very demanding time in their lives, Father. And you know the weariness of all the responsibilities. I just release peace. I release grace. I release wisdom, Lord God. Clear, distinct, step-by-step wisdom. I pray for refreshing of the physical body, the physical mind, the spirit. We rebuke every sickness, every symptom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen.
Amen. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse, Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grants Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Bardice and Ford Elk City, only at bardiceandford.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
We are back. You are tuned into the hour part of this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor D. Light, the White Shepherd. And his title for this morning is Standing in Faith.
Standing in Faith. Not standing there doing nothing, but standing in faith.
Oh, it's not sitting in faith?
No, it's not sitting in faith. That'd be too relaxing. We have an active part to play in it. But faith, first of all, comes from what have you heard from the Lord? What has the Lord himself put in your heart to believe for, to speak for? What has he promised? If you find promises in his word, you activate those promises in prayer. But just because it's in the word does not necessarily mean that you can have faith. But when you find it in the word and you go before the Lord, you have a basis on which he can speak to you and confirm in your heart, yes, that is for you, that is my word, and then you can release that faith. We were looking a while ago in Mark chapter 9 about a father that brought his demon-stressed son who was having convulsions, seizures, to the disciples who couldn't drive it out, implying that they tried but couldn't do it. Jesus shows up on the scene, and the father says, if you can help us, you know, and Jesus basically kind of corrects him, say, if you can, all things are possible to him that believes. And the father replied a great, humble reply. He said, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. And then Jesus did help him with his unbelief by rebuking the spirit with words and driving it out with words of power and authority. Now, I want to remind you of something about Jesus. He didn't rebuke that demon and the demon listened because he was Jesus, Son of God. Now, some people got a problem with me, what I just said right there. But it's the truth. The reason why the demon responded was because Jesus, who is the Son of God, always will be, always has been. He was God in the flesh when he walked on the earth. But he laid that glory aside. The scripture's clear about that. He lived on earth as a person, a human, just like me and you. The reason why he was able to deal with the demonic and have superior authority over it is because he was submitted to the Father and filled with the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the words I speak, they're not my own, but I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. I only do what I see the Father do. So in other words, Jesus got his marching orders and his speaking orders from the Father through the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus rebuked the spirit and said, you mute spirit, come out of him and never return again, why did he say that? The answer is because that's what the Holy Spirit told him to say. The Father, through the Holy Spirit, told Jesus what to say, and he released that hearing. He heard. When you hear from God, faith is there. If you take hold of it, faith is, you can release it. Now, that father said, teach me or help me with my unbelief, and I believe Jesus did by rebuking the spirit. Okay? Now, because what he did, that father could turn around and do the same thing. The father didn't say, do it for me. He said, help me with it. And Jesus, I believe Jesus did. Two short chapters later in the Gospel of Mark, in the 11th chapter of Mark, Jesus gives one of the most powerful demonstrations, easy to see demonstrations of how faith really works. He had gone into the He was headed into Jerusalem. He was going to go to the temple because that was where the Father was leading him. And on his way in there, in the distance, verse 11, Mark 11, 11, Jesus entered Jerusalem, went to the temple, looked around. Since everything, it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. That tells you he's just like us. He gets hungry, gets tired. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found it had nothing but leaves because it was not the season for the figs. And then he what? What did he do? He said, he spoke to the tree. He said, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. That's all he said. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And look at this, verse 14. He said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. What's the last part of that verse say? His disciples heard him say it. So he did. He spoke out loud. Big key there. Big key. Speak out loud. What the Father, through the Holy Spirit, tells you to speak. On reaching Jerusalem, he entered the temple. He drove them all out. I'm going to skip down a little bit more. Verse 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree. Same one. Next morning. Withered up from the roots. Where'd it wither up from? The roots. So when we speak words of faith, God deals with the root of the problem. Not necessarily immediately seeing the difference in the leaves or the whatever, but it was withered up from the root. So Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, Rabbi, teacher, look, the fig tree you cursed is withered. And Jesus said this, have faith in God. I like some translations say, you have the faith of God. It literally says it that way. It says, you have the faith of God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain. Now, whose words are these? These are Jesus' words. It's not some faith, prosperity, TV evangelist trying to get a big offering out of you. This is Jesus. You can disagree with this, but you'll be the one that's in the wrong. Because Jesus ain't wrong. He said, I tell you the truth. In other words, he goes, anytime Jesus said that, does that mean that he sometimes doesn't tell the truth? No, he always tells the truth. But when you read the words in red in the Bible where Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that means, hey, perk up, listen up. I'm going to share a spiritual truth bomb with you that you might miss if you're not paying attention. He said, I tell you the truth. So, okay, tell me the truth, Jesus. Tell me the truth that will make me free. Because we all know that's what the truth does. You may have heard it on a broadcast somewhere. It might be called the truth broadcast. I don't know. Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it'll be done. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of people who say a lot of things, thinking they believe them, and they don't. I've been there. I can remember confessing things that God did not tell me to confess. I'm calling in that car. I'm calling in that house. I'm calling in this. I'm speak to that. I command that to come to me in the name of Jesus. You know, when you're having to work that hard, it's probably not faith anyway. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. When you've heard from the Lord and you get in agreement with it and you start saying it, you're not trying to make it happen. You're declaring it because inside of you it already is that way. That's faith. If you're struggling to have it, you're probably not in faith. But you could be. If you go back to the source, spend some time with the Father and say, what do you want to do about this situation? And get the word from him. You know, you need a car? Great. What car do you want me to have, Father? He may not care. He may give you exactly what you want. I mean, it may not happen today, though. You know, do you need a car? Oh, I need a car bad. Oh, I thought you needed transportation. Oh, I guess that really is the real need then, isn't it? And God knows. I'm not saying God won't help you get a car, but I'm saying you need to hear from him. That's all I'm saying. And when he leads you and you delight yourself in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. He'll put the desire in your heart he wants you to have. He'll help you bring it to pass. I could tell you testimonies all day about that. But I'm going to tell you this, it all starts with the matter of the heart. The belief has to come before the speaking. You can't just say whatever you want and God's going to do it for you. He is not your puppet. And we know that. But Jesus said, if you believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth, you're going to have it. Again, we might want to be careful about some of the things we be saying because we do believe them in our heart. Like, there are people that get a bad report from the doctor or a bad report from the boss about we're going to be having layoffs. We're going to be having cutbacks. They hear that. They believe it in their heart. And guess what they do? They start saying it with their mouth. Well, if you believe it, good or bad, if good report or bad report, it doesn't matter. If you believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth, that's what's going to be produced in your life. Jesus said, if you believe in your heart and say it with your mouth, it'll happen. Verse 24, he's going to clarify even more. He goes, therefore, or because of that principle, because the principle of faith works by believing first and then speaking, he said, I tell you that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. Believe you what? Have received it. Not will receive it, but you have. When did you receive it? You received it when the Father spoke it to you. That's when you received it. You didn't receive it just when you prayed. When you prayed, it was a confirmation of receiving it. You know, click the buy button. But if you don't receive it from the Father first, you can't click the buy button. He said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. That's two different things, isn't it? You receive it on the inside before you see it on the outside. And if you have received it, you act like and speak like you have received it. You don't go around talking like you haven't received it, but you sure hope you would. You're canceling yourself out. Your words do matter. They do. They really do. Look at quickly at 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4:13. I'm not going to get all the way down this road today, but it's all good. God will probably give us another day. I'm ready if he don't. How about you? Yeah. We better be. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:13, it is written, I believed, and therefore I've spoken. Which one comes first? Believing. A lot of people want to start out by speaking. And they speak so much, it makes it hard to believe. Start out first by believing. And when you come into the place of belief, believing you've heard from God, begin speaking what you believe you've heard God tell you to speak. Your faith will work a whole lot better when electricity's turned on. Oh, I flipped that light switch, man, and my finger got sore. It would have worked if the power was on. The power comes on in our spirit life when God speaks. Faith is his idea. He's God. Amen. I believe, therefore I've spoken. Look at this. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. I'm going to say this about it, too. Believing ain't enough. Believing's the power, but speaking is the light switch. And it takes both. Why do you speak? Why are you confessing that? Why are you saying that? Because I believe it. Why you believe it? Because I believe God said that to me. God spoke that. God promised that to me. Since God promised it, and I believe it, I'm going to speak it. And Jesus said, whatever I believe in my heart and speak with my mouth, I'm going to have it. Now, I need to reinforce that. Because there's a whole lot of stuff that comes against you trying to stand in faith. So you need to be constantly reinforcing this principle. I'm not taking one scripture out of context and trying to teach you something that tickles your ears. Matter of fact, I feel like I'm speaking it pretty well balanced. If you don't go before God and get that word that from him to start with, I don't care what you call it, it ain't faith. And it's probably not going to get any results. You can pray till your face falls off. We've got to hear from God. And one of the best ways in the world to hear from God is to open his word. Open his word. And let the Holy Spirit open up your open, teachable heart. Speak to you what he wants to speak. Sometimes, man, we get some ideas, don't we? Oh, this would be a good way to do it here, God. Has God ever done anything the way you thought it needed to be done? Because if he has in your life, he sure hadn't in mine, or not very many times, for sure. Man, every time I think I got it figured out, I just need to stop and flush that and say, all right, Lord, what do you want to do? Yeah. He is the God who chooses the foolish things to confound the wise, the simple things. Sometimes, man, we try to make it so difficult. And God's like, man, it's not that hard. You just need to listen. Speak what I tell you. Do what I tell you. That's important, too. So that's faith. That's how to stand in faith. Now, Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen, not seen. That's what Hebrews, if you've been here, if you've heard faith taught, you've probably heard that verse. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see, the NIV says. Now, I want to throw this at you from the Passion Translation. I know we only got a couple more minutes, but that's all right. We'll use them wisely. The Passion Translation says this way, now faith brings our hopes into reality, and it becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things that we long for. It's not just things we long for, though. It's the things we long for because we've been in the presence of God and He put that longing in our heart. Big difference. Big difference. It goes on to say, it is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. And that goes back to this. It's a little bit hard to understand, to go from there to where I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say, but it's the truth. If you're not thoroughly convinced of it on the inside, because you heard from God and you know you did, you probably haven't entered into faith yet. And it's okay to begin speaking what you believe, but stay flexible. Sometimes your words of speaking, you're not quite at rest about it. I mean, to be honest, if you were really being honest in your heart, you're struggling. One minute you totally believe it, and one minute, I don't know, I hope so. And you're kind of woo woo, right? Let me say it this way. You're wavering back and forth, right? Agreed? We all do that. We all go through that. Well, James said that he who doubts is like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. So until that wavering back and forth stops, you're not going to actually see the manifestation of what you're believing for. But at some point, when you have sought the Lord about it, and you have become inwardly convinced about it, and you're releasing that, man, it's not even a struggle anymore. It's just, you just know it's going to happen. I mean, you quit asking God, you quit begging God to make it happen. If you're begging and all that, you're not in faith, but keep trying, maybe you'll get there. But you're not going to work up faith by your emotions, and you're not going to talk yourself into it. You need to go back to the Father and find out what He's got to say about it. Maybe you're just coming at it from not quite the right angle. And all we need is that word from Him, and get in line with it and agree with what He has to say about it and speak what He has to say about it, and we'll see it come to pass. And it'll be a rest. Man, I've had some testimonies in my life where God put it in my heart, believe something, and I just, at first it was kind of a struggle, and then at some point something just clicked. I just knew that was God's will. I would sometimes almost forget to pray about it, because it was so done to me that it was already done, even though I couldn't see it. And I would just thank Him for it. I never ask Him for it again, because what's the point in asking for something you've already received? That's kind of silly. Hey, I'm going to go to Dairy Queen. Hey, could I get an ice cream cone? Yes. And they hand you one in your hand. You say, hey, could I get an ice cream cone? They're like, don't you have one? Well, if you're still asking for it, maybe you might have one, but you don't really believe you have one, or you'd quit asking for it. Did you get that? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall have what you want. When you stand praying, you believe it. When? While you're praying. You have received. It's in here. It's in the kingdom. And the kingdom comes out as you speak words of faith. And some people don't like what I'm teaching today. They call it the name it and claim it, and the blab it and grab it, and all that stuff. But I'm not teaching you anything that's not biblical. This is Bible. I didn't make this up. I struggled, man. I got scars and knots and T-shirts to prove to you that before, if you won't operate like what I'm telling you, going to God first to get the belief first, and then let the speaking follow the believing, and receive it when you speak it, if you're just going to wind up, you're going to do what I did. You're going to have to go through a lot of hard school of hard knocks to figure out how faith actually works. But if we just read the word and believe it, you say, why do I gotta believe it first? Why don't God just, hey, he's the God, he can do whatever he wants? That's not true. That is just a bold-faced lie from the pit of hell. That's not true. He is God, yes, that's true. He can do whatever he wants. That's not true. Hebrews 11:6, we were just there. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever comes to God must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God needs your faith to operate on your behalf. If God can do whatever he wants, and the Bible says that God wills all men to be saved, here's a question, genius. Why isn't everybody saved? And the answer is because God cannot work in a person's life apart from their belief. That's a fact. So what are you believing about other things besides just your salvation? What are you believing about your health? What are you believing about your provision? What are you believing about relationship healing in your life? What are you believing about forgiveness, yours and forgiveness from you toward others? Because Jesus brought that subject up too in Mark 11. You see, well, I've been praying. I know God spoke to me. I've been praying. Yeah, but what about that you're holding bitterness against someone, you're not forgiving them, that's going to hinder God being able to work on your behalf. But if your slate is clean between you and the Father, and it should be and it should stay that way. I'm not saying it should stay that way because you're perfect. I'm saying it should stay that way in the same way this. A basketball player shoots every shot trying to make it. But when they don't, the good ones go after the rebound. When you miss the mark, confess your sin, and God forgives you, your slate stays clean. The enemy cannot accuse you before the Father. The Father has freedom to work in your life. When someone hurts you, offends you, does you wrong, you release forgiveness immediately. Not about feelings. If you live by feelings, you're going to live in failure till you quit living by feelings. You live by what's right because it's right. Let your feelings follow that later. If you only do what you feel like doing, I bet you got a pretty wretched life. I wouldn't be sitting here this morning. I was tired. I got a lot of things to do today. We live by faith, not by sight. Amen. I know I need to quit.
You're good. It was just brought to my remembrance that I think Angel was 8. I think he was 8. Me, Angel, and Haley was at church. And we were all at the altar. It's when y'all did everyone come down to worship. Mm-hmm. And we were worshiping. And that's when I received the word from the Lord that Angel would be back with his mom at 10.
Yep.
And I got real excited and started jumping.
You thought he meant tomorrow?
I was like, fast forward to now? No, I'm just kidding. But that's when I first got the word from the Lord. Like, by the time Angel is at 10, Angel will be back with his mom.
Wow, yeah.
And I said, okay, and I took it, and I jumped. I got happy about it. And here we are. He's 10.
Mm-hmm.
And by 10 o'clock that morning, it was done. He was back with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, God's so good. And to talk about the desires of our heart. So back in November, I saw some really cute shoes. They were Hey Dudes. I've never had a pair of Hey Dudes. But I've heard a lot about them.
Okay.
And I was walking, in November, I was just, you know, doing my thing, just being, you know, I don't remember exactly, but I was like, oh, those are cute shoes. And I heard, would you buy those for yourself? And I was like, oh, no, you know, that's.
Yeah.
No, I don't see myself buying a pair of Hey Dudes for Monica or anybody else, because Monica just ain't going to spend that kind of money on the Hey Dudes. But I was like, those are really neat looking shoes.
Yeah.
So this week, this past week,
we go, hey, do that.
A friend of mine was out of town working, and
look at those things. Gave her some hey dudettes.
He called me and he said, hey, you know, I've watched you through this deal. You've done so much to get where you're at today.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to bless you with a pair of shoes. So he went to the shoe store where they had them. And he said, what color shoes do you want? I said, well, my favorite color is purple. And he went and he called me and he sent me some pictures. They had rainbow.
Those are pretty.
Rainbow.
Those are for when you can't make up your mind.
Yeah.
No.
They're the promise shoes.
To me, this is a reminder to walk in the promises of God,
mm-hmm,
and to stay in the promises of God.
That's right. That's what the rainbow's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. And there again, that's just God putting a desire in your heart. There's listen, nice things are in this earth. You may look at something nice and think, I don't deserve that. Who does? If it's here and it's nice and it's to be enjoyed, why not you? But you need to be ready for nice things, or else nice things can distract you from God. If there's something in your life you're believing for, like a material thing, a nice car, a nice house, a nice this, a nice that, and you haven't received it yet, I want to tell you this. I believe with every fiber of my being, God wants you to have all the nice things. But the last thing in the world he would ever do is give you something that would take a place in, that belongs to him. So we if we expand our ability to receive and grow and keep our eyes on him in spite of all of it, it just takes the limits off of what he can do. And I'm speaking from experience. We got to grow into it, grow into the blessing.
Yeah.
And you do that, one of the best ways, stay in the Word and then get plugged in to a good Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church. There is no substitute for that. The Bible tells us clearly, don't forsake the assembling of together, because nothing can replace it. So, and there are plenty of good Bible-believing churches, especially here in Western Oklahoma. So you find the one the Lord's leading you to. You go there, and you get plugged in, and be consistent. And be consistent in your individual walk with the Lord. And you might be listening today and say, well, I don't even know if I have a walk with the Lord. Well, I'm glad you're listening. You have a divine appointment today. You wouldn't be listening. You would not hear our voices today if God didn't love you, care for you, and want the best for you. And the reason why you happened upon this right now is because God has an appointment for you to surrender yourself to him, surrender all your hurts, your habits, your past, your present, and your future. Just pray with me. Would you do that? Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today. Thank you for loving me. Forgive me, cleanse me, change my life, help me to be who you want me to be and how you want me to be. I give it all to you, Father. Lead me. Jesus, you are my Lord. I confess you as Lord, and I receive your grace and your forgiveness right now. I believe you're raised from the dead, just like the Bible says. You are my risen Savior, Jesus. And in your name I pray, amen. You pray that and believe it, your life was just transformed. And now you need to read your Bible, you need to go to church. Grow, grow, grow. Amen.
Amen. Okay, y'all. We're about to do it. Mandy. Miss Mandy. It was a real close between her and Lisa. Miss Mandy, we will get you the book as soon as possible. You have been tuned into the Hour Power this morning, y'all, and you already know I'm going to say it again. It is and has been the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, from our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.